He is very even keeled. I would want him on my jury.
Me too.
You know?
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah.
I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your always chipped nails, state of array, Italian pine nut cookie devotee friend.
It's a pine nut cookie.
You don't know Italian pine nut cookie?
And I'm Bethany, your overtired, overcaffeinated, overheating in the summer humidity friend.
Malarkey.
Non-malarkey. It's true.
And every week, Bethany and I meet to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about stranger danger, specifically how to spot a predator.
I love. Mm-hmm. I don't love predators. I love spotting them.
Just, you know, some light banter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also doing some light banter. We're going to talk about how you know when you're not in love. You're actually addicted to the person.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
You know, I saw a very similar topic today on Dr. Oz.
Really?
Where someone was addicted to microwave meals.
Ooh.
There's just addictive things everywhere.
What about it were they addicted to?
There's some sort of chemical that is the FDA. It's cool in America, but it's not cool in Europe.
Yeah.
Which is basically everything.
Yeah. If it's not allowed in Europe, but it's allowed here, I wouldn't trust it.
Mm-mm.
Because Europe is... I feel like they're more forward thinking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes.
Kathleen, I have two things I need to address very importantly. Thing number one.
You have the table.
I am wearing patchouli today as a scent. Are you offended by it?
No, but I wondered why I started thinking about Chris Martin.
Yeah. I love patchouli, but it's a polarizing scent. A lot of people do not like it. So it was a risky thing I did today.
Okay. Honestly, I did not smell you.
Okay.
So you're good. You're cool.
Okay, cool.
But like when we make out later, I'll make sure to sniff all of your heat points.
And I can reapply on my heat points. And then thing number two, I know I got stuck in the background of a
paparazzi photo.
Paparazzi photo. Of what's his name? Of Andy Cohen.
Oh,
because
Mr.
I was,
Bravo.
Yeah, I was walking to get a sandwich before you came over, and I was I was sluggish and sleepy, and then I saw a photographer like crouch down next to a building, and then I saw him pull out this lens the size of a toddler, like if he had lifted a toddler sideways out of a bag and then like held it out, and then he started going. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And then around the corner comes Andy Cohen. And here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
How did he know Andy Cohen was going to be there? Because Andy Cohen was just talking on his phone, walking his dog.
Well, usually the celebs, they're like, hey, paparazzi, psst, psst, psst. I'm going to be at this place at this time. Take quote unquote candid photos of me.
That's normally what happens. But that's what happens when they're looking amazing, pumping gas, or they're looking amazing, frolicking on the beach.
Yeah.
He looked... similar to how I looked, which is like just have woken up from a nap.
Well, you look beautiful. You look put together.
We both looked a slight shade of disheveled.
Okay.
So I don't know if he tipped off the paparazzo. So I will just say that paparazzo knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He was in the right spot at the right time. When I came out of the store with my sandwich, he was no longer there. but if you see a picture of Andy Cohen and you see a girl walking away in the background wearing a black t-shirt and a pink corduroy skirt,
uh-huh,
that's your girl Bethany.
You know, it's sort of funny how the paparazzi keep their cameras concealed, much like I keep my movie snacks concealed.
Yep.
In my tote until I get into the theater. Because like my mom and I will sometimes sneak like grande or venti lattes into the movie theater. So, you know, you have to get like the cup holder and you got to put it in your tote bag.
Yep.
And then you have to walk so very slowly.
Stay very level.
Like, sometimes I pretend like my ankles kind of hurt.
Yeah. And like they don't know.
I know they don't know. But then you got to have some paper towels underneath in case there's like a little bit of a spill.
Yeah. When I was in high school, this was when bell bottoms came back. And my friend Morgan famously strapped two slushies, one to each ankle, and then put her bell bottoms over them and walked into the movie theater. And that's how we got our drinks in.
Speaking of bell bottoms, one of my favorite pastimes on Instagram is to look up hashtag Delia's. I'm telling you.
I love them.
So many good gems there.
Oh.
And really good outfit inspiration. But sometimes I worry that I look like a 30-year-old woman just pretending to be a Gen Zer.
You know what? You have to meld it into what you would normally be wearing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Like I think No for the tattoo choker. Like, if you were around for the first tattoo choker, you don't get to rewear the tattoo choker.
I was around for the first tattoo choker. You were around for the first.
I was. Yeah. I'm not wearing the tattoo choker now.
I just bought my niece's, a rainbow collection of tattoo chokers at Claire's.
Dude, went to Claire's for the first time in years the other day.
So much stuff.
They have upped their goddamn game.
I know.
They have gems that cascade down your braid.
I know.
There's so much stuff, Kathleen. There's like a full bridal section of Claire's.
I know. That, like, their tiara. Tiaras are actually like legit nice, like royal baby nice.
Really, really good. I almost bought a second emergency tiara at Claire's.
Like, Charlotte could probably wear one of those, you know, fully downsized Claire's tiaras and look good.
Look really good.
Yeah, it might look silly on Kate. Kate needs like a little bit more bling.
She's a little classier. Uh-huh. You know, she needs like a real, because you know the real gems are a little bit duller in their sparkle. She needs that kind of regal. You can tell it's real, but Charlotte can wear whatever she wants
to. Yeah, she totally can.
Like one or whatever.
Can I talk to you about an article I saw online today?
Yeah.
Okay, you know the blog Who What Wear?
Yeah.
And they have this fabulous line of really cute, affordable clothing at Target.
Yeah.
They said today, and I don't know how I feel about it, the boot for the fall, uh-huh, square toe.
No, 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 I won't. I probably will after I see it on enough people.
Same. Like Uggs. In the beginning, I was like, oh, that's the most hideous boot ever. And now I'm like, oh, I love it when my foot slips into my Ugg. It feels like I'm giving myself a warm vaginal kiss.
I can't. Like pilgrim toes?
Yeah. You know, I had a friend and she, I used to work in magazines before I worked in radio. And she had this awesome pair of Fry vintage boots from the 70s.
Yeah.
And they were square toe. And she just looked so good in them. So because Anne is giving me a little bit of like inspiration, I'm like, okay, maybe I should go back and like rethink. I don't know. All my boots are round toe, or
all
like
of my boots are pointy toes,
slightly pointy.
I mean, I love looking like the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, they're so pointy.
Yes.
And I don't know if I'm ready to give that up, mostly because that's a lot of pointy toe money that I have squandered.
I know.
Is that, did they specifically mention that the pointy toe is gone?
No, it's just like square toes is what everyone's going to be seeing. I don't know. It's a little pilgrimy for me, but like it's Thanksgiving season in the fall anyway, so whatevs.
Yeah, this is true. Maybe if I see it enough, if I see it enough, I might get into it. But that really, that worries me a little bit.
So 4th of July just passed. Did you watch Stranger Things?
No.
You haven't?
No.
You've seen the first two seasons, haven't you?
I have. You? Uh-huh. Here's my issue, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get myself excited about it. I don't remember how season two ended, so I don't know what I'm excited about.
No, you just, they give you like a little preview before.
How did season two end?
I don't remember.
Did you watch season three?
I watched a little bit of season three, and I watched the preview of here's what you need to remember.
Yeah.
Of season two, and I don't even remember, but it's still good.
Was so are Eleven and the other girl, are they friends?
Yes.
I like that. I'm glad that they didn't make them fight.
And they show up in each other's Insta stories all the time, so I think they're really good friends in real life. But here's the thing that everyone's talking about.
What?
It's like a little gemstone you really have to look for.
Tell me.
Mike's mom, Mrs. Wheeler.
Yeah.
She's got this necklace. It's like a gold necklace.
Is it the heart of the ocean?
It is a vagina. It's a vagina necklace. Twitter is here for it.
Is it? Wait, is that like Winona Ryder? It's a different mom. Oh, it's the sexy mom.
It's a sexy mom. So she's in a lot of these scenes. She's wearing like a gold necklace. Comes down like right before her breast line. Sorry. I'm so disgusting. I'm sorry.
God. Your eyes got so wide.
I'm sorry. You know what? It was stuck in my throat. I had some club soda before I got here. So it's this gold necklace, and it comes like right before it ends, right above her breast line. It's a thin chain, and then there's an emblem, and it's kind of like it's like a vagina, and right in the middle of it, there's a pearl. So
is it blatant, or do you have to kind of notice it?
No, it's an Easter egg. You have to notice it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That seems like something she would wear, because she was the one who was like hitting on the guy.
Yeah, Billy.
Billy.
Yeah.
Whose name is like Ducrey in real life, and he's hot and Australian.
He is very hot. Okay. So anyway, when you start watching season three, I need you to keep your eyes peeled for the vaginal necklace.
That might be enough to make me tune in.
Yeah. There,
for a period of time, and I think Kesha was wearing this. This was several years ago. It was like a quote unquote pearl necklace where it just looked like semen across your chest.
I'm all for expression, freedom of expression, but that's whatever.
I mean, I'm...
She made it work.
I'm sex positive for other people.
Yes.
But I'm very sex negative for myself. And so I would never wear that necklace.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it was from Claire's and it was just little mini rhinestones strung across and like a web across my chest.
I would really like to put on that necklace and then go visit my mom and say, hey, mom, you know what this necklace is? And just see what she said. That'd be fun.
Your poor mother.
It's like every time I pass BJ's. Mom, you know what BJ stands for?
Do you think she does? She does.
I think I've told her a couple of times.
Do you think she would remember?
I don't know if it sticks.
Should we call her and ask?
No. Very quickly, I want to play a voicemail that we got from our friend Sunny. She's from Florida.
Okay.
You know how last episode I was talking about how I wish cars were Alexa enabled?
Yes.
Well, Sunny has a trick and she wants to share it with us.
Hey, Kathleen. This is Sunny from Florida. I was giving you a call because you mentioned you wish that you could just say Alexa in your car and she play whatever song you wanted her to. But that capability wasn't there yet. And so I figured you didn't know, but if you open the Amazon Music app and just keep it up and your screen on, you can ask Alexa to play whatever song you want within that app. And it works exactly the same as the functionality of your actual Echo in your home. See you later. Bye.
Can we talk about Sunny's voice?
Hell yeah.
Sunny is this wonderful, calm, sexy, like, if she told me everything was going to be okay,
uh-huh,
even if there were nuclear clouds going off in the distance and I was currently being beamed up by an alien, I would believe her.
Yeah, I would listen to her read sexy novels.
I would listen to her read any novels.
I would listen to her read the alphabet.
I would listen to her read my to-do list.
One, learn to cook.
That's just mean. What's that? What do you think? What's number two on your things that you think I need to do?
Number two. Up my collection of Victorian face masks.
This is true.
Number three, get a better list.
You want to know what I think your list is?
What?
Number one, call your mother and ask if she knows what a BJ is.
No.
Number two.
No.
Number two.
No.
Dye your hair red.
No.
Oh.
Number three.
Would be such a saucy vixen as a redhead.
Number three, call your mom and ask her if she knows what a BJ is.
She knows. I'm sure she knows. She has to know.
She had you.
That's not that. You don't do that from a BJ. You don't get that from a BJ.
Bethany, today is your lucky day.
Did my shipment of fainting goats finally arrive?
No, because I walked into your apartment today and I was like, Bethany's skin looks amazing today.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then you're like, oh, BT Dubs, I might be in the background of a paparazzi photo of Andy Cohen.
Because of my skin.
And you should contact that photographer and just send them information on BioClarity.
Bless their hearts.
Yes.
So this is what happened. I ran out of my moisturizer from BioClarity. And so I was using this other moisturizer I had gotten for free. And uh-huh, I couldn't figure out why my skin was breaking out. And as soon as I reordered and got new moisturizer, my skin went back to calm. Because guess what? I have sensitive skin, just like you, Kathleen, and my skin breaks out because I am a 13-year-old girl.
What eating healthy does for your body, BioClarity does for your face.
They have two different skincare routines. They have the Essentials routine, which is for people who have normal or dry skin, but Kathleen and I both use the Clear Skin routine. It's for combination, oily, or breakout-prone skin. It's just three steps to get rid of breakouts, clear and calm your skin, and get a bunch of detoxifying nutrients all over. Plus, it has a super specially ingredient found only in BioClarity called Floralux that's made from the chlorophyll from plants.
And it comes with everything you need to get clear, glowing skin without over drying, because my skin gets so dry sometimes when I put acne products on it.
Yep.
That doesn't happen with BioClarity. And it also really helps me with redness and hyperpigmentation, like after I've had a zit and, you know, it leaves like a dark mark.
Yeah.
And I have issues with texture and skin tone on my cheeks, and BioClarity, their cleanser and their moisturizer and their mask. Freaking love their clarifying mask.
It's great.
Oh my God, it really does the trick for me.
And they've been one of our longest partners because their products are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, artificial fragrance-free, and they have a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. So if you want to look stunning in the background of an Andy Cohen paparazzi photo, get yourself some BioClarity.
Get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. And right now, you'll save 40% on skincare routines plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website. Hello, deal.
Hi.
But you need to enter our code at checkout. So go to BioClarity.com to get 40% off of skincare routines plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website when you use our code ACQUIRED at checkout. That's ACQUIRED. Go to BioClarity.com and use the code ACQUIRED at checkout.
Bring. Okay, Kathleen, we got an email from a listener of ours, and I don't want to say his name because he has kind of an identifiable name.
Okay.
And so let's just call him Ted.
Ted, that sounds good.
Sorry, I need to turn my Citizen app notifications off.
Oh, what's going on in your hood? Tell me now. Tell me now.
Attempted theft of a city bike. You can't take those.
No.
You got to pay. So wait, what are we calling him? Ted?
Ted.
Ted. So... Hi, my name is Ted. I'm 23. I live in Texas, and I would love some advice on getting over someone that I fell in love with. So it's kind of a long email. I'm going to try to edit it down a little bit.
Okay.
Because we need to talk about this. So Ted says, back in November, I went to visit my best friend in college and ended up meeting one of his new friends. I instantly thought this guy was attractive and funny, so I started DMing him on Instagram. In my eyes, we hit it off. Later, I would find out this wasn't the case. We talked almost constantly for the next few months. I later found out that the only reason he talked to me was because he thought I was lonely and he felt like it was the right thing to do. He and I continued talking and I started falling for him harder and harder.
Aww.
We talked for a few months and then finally saw each other again in February. I told him I was coming to visit my friend and that I'd like to see him too. The guy that I'm falling for, we're going to call him Jim.
Okay.
Okay.
Ted and Jim.
Yeah. So Jim said that would be cool. So I arrived at their school. I went and hung out with my friend for a while. And then I texted Jim wanting to meet up. He ignored me. When he finally texted me back, he gave some excuse about being at the vet with his friend, blah, blah, blah. I found out the next month that this was a lie. He'd been avoiding me.
Oh.
But we still talked constantly. A month later, March, I found out he'd only recently started liking me as a friend. So here I was falling for Jim, not knowing he didn't like me as a friend for the first 4 months we had talked. I was upset when I found out, but I let it go because he said he thought of me as a friend now.
Okay.
I was still falling for him.
I guess progress, I guess. I don't know.
Then one night I went to see my best friend again. I was about to leave campus, so I decided to say a quick hi bye to Jim.
Uh-huh.
This was not the case. He convinced me to walk around campus with him for about an hour. It was super late at this point, and I lived 2 hours away. We then walked to my car so I could leave, but we ended up sitting in my car talking for another hour.
Ugh.
I think I should mention that Jim had known I liked him for a few months at this point. He said he didn't see me that way, so I was just going to move on, even though it was hard for me. As I was getting ready to leave, Jim didn't want me to leave. He wanted me to stay on campus with him at his dorm. I said I couldn't. I said I had things to do. So we gave each other a hug. Well, several hugs.
Mm.
And in one of those hugs, Jim bit my ear. Now, this does something to me.
Are you kidding
me? You and me both, Ted.
Ugh.
So I think I made a noise. He kept biting my ear after I told him to stop. Nothing progressed after that. But on my way home, he texted me and told me that night was the first time he could actually see us being together. I was elated. He didn't talk to me the next day. After not talking to me, he told me he could see us together. I was sad. I texted him that night trying to figure out what was going on. He got upset. He decided to drink. We fought. I went to bed. The next morning, I found out he had overdosed on sleeping pills and was in the hospital. So he was there for the next week in a mental hospital. When he got out, we barely spoke. About a week after Jim was back at school, things got back to normal, but that didn't last long. We started fighting. He said my mental issues were a burden to him. He said our friendship reminded him of his relationship with his ex. He said that hadn't ended well. So then we would be fighting a lot, and then we would be fine a lot, and then we'd be fighting, and then we'd be fine. The whole time, I was still falling for him.
Oh, no.
So there was a point that it became too much for Jim. We decided to take a break. Well, several breaks, because none of them lasted long. For not being a romantic relationship, it felt like it on both ends.
So they were taking a break from this, like, friendship thing.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah. When we would start talking again, he didn't want people to know. He had painted me as this crazy guy who was weird and in love with him to all of his friends, and he was worried they would all judge him. This is one of the reasons we never dated. Also, I'm a bigger guy, and he was worried about what people would think of the two of us being together. He had also said that if I looked like my best friend, he would have dated me. This hurt my feelings, but I still wanted him.
Superficial.
Uh-huh. So towards the end of the semester, I stayed with him in his dorm. He hit me. He even ripped my shirt off of me. And then he started crying about it. And I, being an idiot, stayed and comforted him, even though it was me who was hurt. I didn't cut things off after that. It wasn't until the beginning of June that things ended for real. I went to stay the night at his place the first week of June. We brought wine. We started watching a Britney Spears concert, which sounds to me like an awesome date.
Yeah.
We kissed. Things progressed. We had sex. After it was done, Jim had a panic attack and cut a big chunk of his hair off. We didn't sleep in the same bed. We talked it out. He said we couldn't talk anymore. He said he slept with me to hurt me because I had told him I was getting over him. Loving him was becoming too painful, but I still wanted him in my life, so I would settle for being friends. So the email ends with, we haven't talked since then, but I miss him so much. I blocked him from all social media just the other day because it was too painful seeing him, but not being able to talk to him. I know this was a long story and I probably left a bunch out, but I guess I'd just like insight and maybe how to get over someone you fell deeply in love with. I love you guys. And that's from Ted.
Wow. Ted, have you looked up the qualities of a psychopath lately?
I mean, look, Ted, there's a lot of things going on, and I hope that in writing this email, you are able to see more in black and white what kind of an abuser Jim is.
Yeah, and that's the same effect that journaling has mm-hmm. for a lot of people. Once you actually get it down on paper and it's not just a jumbled mess of stories in your head,
yeah,
that's when you, yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel, it's like, oh,
yeah,
your aha moment.
This isn't so... This is abusive behavior.
Yes.
Hitting you. No one should ever put their hands on you.
No.
When he was biting your ear, if you wanted him to stop, he should have.
Yes.
And he's being incredibly emotionally abusive as well.
Yeah.
Being like, I had sex with you because I wanted to hurt you. Telling you how he's not attracted to you. And then fooling around with you, disappearing, coming back, behaving inappropriately. And then making it so that you have to comfort him.
I've been talking to somebody recently about how ways to spot emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so hard because when you're in the moment and you're not the abuser, naturally you just have more sympathy and empathy than somebody who is an abuser does.
Yeah.
And that kind of overshadows clear thinking about the situation and what's really going on. You know, especially it sounds like, Ted, it sounds like you're a caretaker
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure that Jim is okay. And it looks like you are a violin and he is playing your strings hardcore.
Yeah. So one of the good pieces of news here, Jim, is that this is not how love feels. And it's your brain firing off a lot of things like hormones that cause you to be attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
You're also, I believe, in my uninformed, for entertainment purposes only, not professionally advice giving brain, I think you're addicted to him.
Ah, interesting take.
And I know this because I have been addicted to people in the past. And I found this really interesting article from Psychology Today.
Okay.
By a guy named William Barry. And it's called You're Not in Love, You're Addicted. And it says basically that, especially in our culture, movies and TV and songs have us believing that love is this intense possessiveness, control, addiction, eroticism, new feelings, blah, blah, blah. And that's love.
John Cusack on the lawn with the boombox.
Yep, exactly.
Ariel's, you know, coming up on the rock out of the ocean with all the water behind her.
Literally giving up her friends, family, everything she's known, and a kick-ass tail to just have her boyfriend.
And I think sometimes it's because the media portrays love in that way, that when you do find love and you find rock solid, lovely love, that you think it needs to be more dramatic and
yes.
you throw it away.
Yes, exactly. So this article says that you can be addicted to the excitement of a new relationship, or you can also be addicted to an individual. He says, although it can happen in any relationship, it's the most common as a partner dynamic. One partner, or maybe both, becomes dependent on the other for his or her positive emotions. A lot of people who have these relationships don't even realize they have them.
Huh.
There's a book called Love and Addiction, and there's a bunch of different criteria where you can decide if you are in an addicted relationship or not.
You know, it's like an addiction to anything else,
mm-hmm.
food or drugs mm-hmm. or alcohol. You get a little bit
yep.
and you're like, oh, that person makes me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And then
I get
like,
that little hit of
yes.
good feelings.
You're like, okay, like a little bit more.
Yep.
And then sometimes that person's hard to get a hold of, mm-hmm. much like a drug might be hard to get a hold of. And then you finally get it and you're like, oh, this feels so good. I got my hit.
And because you couldn't get it, you want it even more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not love. Get out of here.
No. So here's some questions to ask yourself.
Okay.
If you think you might be addicted to a person instead of in love with them.
This is such an interesting concept that
I've
never really thought about before. And I think that it goes also with best friendship, because there's a love component in this,
yeah.
but I think that this applies to best friendship too. When one person really wants to be friends with the other person, someone's not so hot, but is using the person who's like all in for the friendship.
Yep. Yeah. It can be in anything. It's really, really interesting. So here's some questions you ask. Does each lover have a secure belief in his or her own value? Do you value yourself separate from the other person? Or do you get your value by being with them?
It sounded like Ted was getting his value from being with Jim.
Mm-hmm. Are the lovers improved by the relationship? By some measure outside of the relationship, are they better? Are they stronger, more attractive, more accomplished, more sensitive? Do they value the relationship for this very reason? Like, for example, I think that Kathleen, you and Neil are really good together because I think you make Neil a little bit more probably spontaneous, or you get him out of the house more.
Uh-huh.
I think he makes you stop a little bit and maybe think through things more because you're fiery.
Yeah. And he makes me slow down, mm-hmm. and I make him like cosmopolitan.
Exactly. You two improve each other.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily the case in these addictive relationships. Do the lovers maintain serious interests outside the relationship, including other people? Are you able to have other friends? Is the relationship integrated into, rather than being set off from, the totality of their lovers' lives?
Mm.
For this, that's the one that made me think of this, because Jim did not want his friends to know about Ted, to be around Ted.
Yeah.
He made fun of Ted.
Yeah, Ted said, I'm a bigger guy, and Jim wasn't into Ted's appearance.
Mm-hmm. And didn't want his friends to be judgmental.
But Jim fed off of the fact that Ted was in love with him, mm-hmm. because he needed to feel better than, I mean, obviously Jim has, you know, self-esteem issues, because somebody who doesn't wouldn't treat another human being this way, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of things. And again, if you just Google, you know, addicted to a person or addicted to a relationship, you can find a bunch of resources, and there's a bunch of different things you can do to help yourself. The first and foremost, I would say, Ted, is therapy.
Yeah.
Because I think that this person has hurt you really deeply, maybe more than you realize. And therapy is such a good outlet for having somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game.
Yes.
Really help you lay things out and tell you, yes, this behavior is normal. No, this behavior is not normal.
Yes.
And it can be really validating to be told, yeah, what Jim was doing is not normal and is not something that a normal, good person would do.
You know, I've said things out loud in therapy that I didn't even realize I was going to say.
Really?
So what if there...
Like, what was the juiciest?
Oh, I can't tell you. Oh. It's FBI sealed, Bethany.
Oh.
I really think that Ted would benefit from a therapist, because a therapist can help you sort of navigate those waters, remind you of past behaviors, and help you find a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So
I've done it multiple times. One of the few things, there's a website called Psych Central, says 12 steps to break your addiction to a person. I'm not going to go through all of them. The first two are just keep a relationship log, like keep track of everything that happens in your relationship, really similar, Ted, to what you did when you emailed us. That helps you lay it out in black and white. And then number two was find the patterns. So like list all of the people you've gotten involved with and see if there are types of relationships that happen over and over with you, or characteristics of the person.
Yeah, for me, it's Scorpios.
Really?
I love a Scorpio.
That's interesting.
I've only ever been in love with Scorpios.
Is that a fire sign or a water sign? Or an air sign?
I don't know.
Or an earth sign?
I don't know anything about the signs. I'm a water sign. A Scorpio's a scorpion.
So I'm a
desert sign. I don't know. Is that a thing?
I don't know anything about it. I'm a fire sign. I know that, which is interesting because I hate heat.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, Ted, I just think that you are so smart and you're doing all the right things. I can tell you're smart, A, because your email was impeccably written and everything was spelled correctly, and you used paragraphs really nicely. Two, you cut off ties with this guy and you blocked him on social media.
I mean, kudos to you, because that's the hardest part.
Yeah, it really is. And you just deserve to be loved up by someone who truly thinks that you, you know, walk on water.
Yes.
And you don't deserve to be strung along like this. And he's not a good person for you to be around.
Yeah.
You
know, Bethany and I were talking about this before we started the podcast, and it's like red sign, red sign, red sign, red sign. So maybe if you're listening to this right now and your situation isn't quite like Ted's, mm-hmm. but if you're getting a red flag and multiple red flags, and these red flags are like waving in the air and the wind is whipping, it's 60 miles out there.
Yeah, so a red flag slaps you across the face.
Please don't ignore those red flags.
Mm-mm.
You will be so much better in the end, even if right now it feels insurmountable.
Yeah, you're not crazy. you're seeing what's going on. Trust your gut. Mm-hmm. And Ted, I hope you feel better. And like, keep us posted. But,
yes.
But you don't deserve this. You deserve someone who thinks you're perfect as you are and who makes you feel great and doesn't make you feel awful.
You deserve to be someone's zero choice.
Exactly. So, Kathleen, I'm not a parent.
Uh-huh.
I have been told that parenting is hard.
So I hear. We're both cat parents. Not the same thing.
I've also been told that is not the same thing. But my family members and friends who are parents have told me they find themselves saying things and doing things that they never thought that they would be saying or mm-hmm. doing. Like, there have been several movies where a mother sees something brown and goes chocolate or poop and then licks it.
Yeah.
And is like, chocolate. Like, I've seen that in multiple different movies.
I want to see the part in the movie where it's not chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Where she got that, where she took that gamble and she lost.
So our friends at Audio Boom and Main Event Media have a brand new parenting podcast that they want to share with our taste buds.
It's called Never Thought I'd Say This, and it stars Full House star Jodie Sweetin. You know, she plays Stephanie Tanner.
Oh, yeah.
And her best friend, Celia Behar, who's a life coach. Every week, they get together to recap all of the ridiculous things that are happening in their parenting lives.
So Never Thought I'd Say This. It's going to premiere this week on the day that this podcast comes out. That's Wednesday, July 10th, and there's going to be a new episode every week.
And they're in the Audio Boom family with us.
Yes.
So that basically means that Stephanie Tanner and us are sisters.
We're related.
We're related by blood.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Olsen twins didn't come back to Full House on Netflix, so there are two spots open. I wonder if like they'll let us.
We are just as classy. So, and even if you're not a parent, you can definitely enjoy some of these stories that you know they're going to be telling you. I will definitely be tuning in because I don't intend to have children, but I would like to be a little bit more sympathetic to my friends who do instead of being like, is that normal?
And you know, two best friends, they're going to hilariously tackle parenting taboos. They're going to interview other celebrity parents and dive into the real issues that all parents face today in their brand new podcast.
Yes. So be sure to search for and subscribe to Never Thought I'd Say This on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And actually, if you just go into our show notes, we will link you over. So you can just click on that and start listening.
The other day, I was getting ice cream
with
my best friend and her daughter.
How old's the daughter? I was trying to set the scene.
Just shy of three. So she's little. She's still like a little girl. She's two and three quarters. Okay.
Okay.
And we were inside the ice cream place mm-hmm. and we were doing our ordering, and I walked in and this woman looked over at me and she goes, oh, your jumpsuit is so cute.
Mm.
And you know, I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And then I ordered two ice creams by accident. I ate both of
them. It just, a quote unquote accident.
It was like, I wanted one cup with two flavors.
Yeah.
And they gave me two full size cups with full sizes of both.
You must eat them both.
I eat them both. Okay, so we go outside and the baby is kind of in between us, but there's like a little bit of space.
Okay.
So I'm talking to my friend and we're eating our ice cream. And the woman who said, hey, I really like your jumper. Like your jumper's great. She says, hey, can I sit with you guys?
No. No, you cannot.
And I'm a freaking idiot. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I move over and now she's between me and the baby.
No, 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 no.
And right away, I was like, you are a dumbass.
Alarm bells.
Alarm bells. You just made a bad decision.
Okay.
So she was just like a middle-aged woman. She didn't look threatening.
Uh-huh.
And she sits down And then my best friend and I, we kind of like, you start to realize like what's happening. You're like, this is strange, whatever. She starts talking to the baby and, you know, she's kind of babbling like, oh, you know, it's like, it's a really good day for ice cream. And, you know, I was going on my diet, but I said, you know, I'll get some ice cream first and I'll start my diet tomorrow. And then she starts talking to the baby. She's like, oh, do you need more napkins? Mm-hmm. And she goes inside to get more napkins. And I'm looking at my friend. I'm going, what do we do? You know, it's the type of situation where women are taught to be polite to everybody no matter what.
We will bend over backwards to make sure that we don't hurt anyone's feelings. Because that's how we've been raised.
Yes. And the woman comes out with napkins. But like, obviously, my friend is a good mother. She had like freaking napkins stuffed in her pocket. Yeah. She has a 2.5-year-old.
Moms are nothing but napkins and wet wipes.
Exactly.
And hand sanitizer.
So she kind of went on to be like, oh, are you the mom? Are you the aunt? And we're not giving her any details at this point. And we start talking to each other And we start talking to the baby and totally ignoring this woman. Like, yeah. Get the hint.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we probably should have been like, hey, this feels kind of weird. We're going to switch tables. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like a cushion the situation. Sorry. Yeah. But we didn't. And she finished her ice cream before us, luckily. I mean, I had two ice creams.
Thank God.
And she went through her purse, and it was so sad. She went through her purse, and she got some pocket change out, and she put it next to the baby. And she's just like, thank you for letting me sit with you.
Oh, man.
Here's some piggy bank change, whatever, whatever, whatever. And probably the situation is that she was feeling really bad about herself. She didn't have anybody that she knew in the area. She wanted to get ice cream. The situation probably wasn't that she was a predator, but we still didn't take that change because you don't know. There could be a tracking device in the quarter.
There could be ricin on it. Who knows? Ricin.
I picked it up with a napkin and I put it in the tip jar.
Give the employees ricin.
I mean, I was really mad at myself and I was beating myself up for not trusting my gut. And I know that my friends have gone through this before too, where you're nice to somebody that you absolutely should have not been nice to.
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's we want to believe in the best in people. I know I'm guilty of that. I think that it's this constant risk assessment of if I'm nice to you, is it safer for me and the people around me than if I tell you my true feelings?
Right.
Because sometimes the true feelings will have the person take the hint and they'll leave, but it might make them mad.
Or instigate them to, use violence.
Yes.
So I printed out this article from Psychology Today. The author is Catherine Ramsland, PhD. It's called How to Spot a Predator. And the thing about predators is they're so good at blending into society. This article talks a lot about serial killers and, you know, how they're really charming and how they have normal jobs and you'll never, ever, ever suspect. And so they give you some tips on how to spot a serial killer.
Ooh.
But the author says that these principles still apply to people who commit acts of sexual assault, con artists. When you watch a movie or a TV show, the public really wants monsters, bad people, to be obvious. And, you know, they reinforce naive conceptions that bad people live on the fringe of society.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to spot them walking down the street. But that is almost never, ever, ever the case.
Oh, it's usually the people that you like see in your office.
Yes, because serial killers and predators, once they suspect that you suspect them, they change your suspicions, they distort them, and they deny. So I think you should just go around to everybody you know and say, you're a serial killer.
Accuse them
and see what they say.
Yeah. And then depending on how they react, that's whether you know to call the cops or not.
Yeah.
Don't do any of these things that we're telling you to do right now. Wait, so how do you spot a serial killer?
Okay, so let's go through the steps. One, be careful of props. The winning smile.
Like a big, like an oversized mallet. No, like a hook.
Like a giant cheese hat.
Never go to Wisconsin.
A winning smile that doesn't feel quite right. Promises. Fast talking. Gifts that they give you that deflect from manipulation.
Okay. Does she give an example of that? Like, why am I getting a gift?
So somebody may have wronged you, and to say sorry or to stop you from being mad at them, they get you a gift.
Gotcha.
But they do it multiple times. So every time they break trust with you, they get you a gift to cover it up. Something that's like way too extravagant for what happened, right? I'll never hit you again. I'm sorry I left you. You know, I didn't call you then, you know?
Yeah.
It just, you're going to know in your gut.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two. Anybody who seems too perfect. Psychopaths, she says, hide their dark sides until they get their target person deeply involved.
Unless, so like, does she give the definition of psychopath? Because I always forget it. And I know that, like, you know, obviously we don't want to go around like telling people willy nilly that they're psychopaths.
That every time you get a gift that you're
a psychopath. I just Googled it.
Yes, go ahead.
Psychopathy is traditionally a personality disorder characterized by persistent antisocial behavior, impaired empathy and remorse, and bold, disinhibited, and egotistical traits.
Yeah.
It is sometimes considered synonymous with sociopathy. So it's a really specific thing. And you can have several of these different symptoms of it and still not be it.
Yes.
But they say that a lot of people who are high up in business tend to have these traits.
Yes.
Because it's like a lack of empathy. So they're not afraid to fire everyone and help the business flourish.
That's how they get the monies.
Yep.
They say too much flattery, feigned kindness, cracks in their grandiose stories. That provides clues, and you should start putting your guard up if there's somebody in your life.
Interesting.
Make reasonable inquiries when you spot sort of like cracks in somebody's story.
Call them out on it.
Call them out on it. And number three, know yourself. You might be vulnerable. You might have blind spots. Know what your blind spots are.
Mm.
I have so many blind spots.
I think a lot of us are wanting to see the good in people. That's our blind spot. We want to give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt.
Some people's blind spot is that they can change people.
Oh, yes. That's a big one.
Or another person's blind spot might be that they're a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
So they can nurse that person back to like regular health, right?
Yep. I can fix them.
And then the fourth tip that they say for spotting a predator is you might be duped. Like just you have to live with the fact that you may not ever be able to spot a serial killer because they are too good at hiding who they are.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I know. When was the last time you took a self-defense class?
Never.
I need to take one.
Yeah.
And I need to start reading more articles about things that predators do.
That's and I think she's using the term predator pretty loosely.
Yes.
In this. Like it can be a predator as in like they are an emotional abuser, or a predator as in like they kind of want to just borrow a lot of money and never pay it back, or a predator in the worst way.
Yes.
I think that's why true crime is so huge, because it helps us feel like we are getting better at understanding where these people's state of mind is to help identify them and protect ourselves.
And in this day and age of social media, meeting people, dating people you don't know, people you've only ever seen their profile online,
mm-hmm.
like we all need to keep a little tiny like notebook, or like, you know, when you cheated on a test in high school, you had a little piece of paper.
Yeah.
When you go on a date, you need to like have something glued to the inside of your watch that's like, you know, with a very, very, very fine pen. Is he or she doing XYZ?
Yeah. If they smile, does the smile not hit their eyes?
Yeah.
Or are they only smiling when I smile because they've been cued in that that's what they're supposed to be doing right now?
So trust your gut.
There's really this fascinating video on YouTube. Have you heard of the man named Chris Watts who killed his whole family?
No.
So this happened last year, the year before, in, I believe, Colorado. And you can find the video on YouTube of the police body camera when they first showed up at his house and his wife and children were missing. And then he comes home later and they start to slowly realize that this guy is the guy who probably did it.
Wow.
And you can also find the like almost full interrogation video on YouTube as well. And it shows that he had no emotion whatsoever until the woman who ran the polygraph test said, "Look, you haven't cried once. Your children are missing. If my child was missing, I'd be sobbing." And then all of a sudden he starts pretending to cry.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know that that was a thing he should do until she told him that was a thing he should do.
Yeah. Societal norms don't come easy.
Yeah.
To serial killers, to psychopaths.
To this person. Yeah. So it was. Yeah. So Chris Watts, find that video. It is fascinating. And it's a lot of this stuff. He's like, he's totally full of himself, a total egomaniac, and believes that he's the smartest person in the room. He is the dumbest person in the room. He's very stupid.
Yeah.
And made a lot of mistakes, but
he didn't think it through. I would like to think that if I were in his position, mm-hmm. I would get away with it. But
you would.
Yeah. But it's like Ted Bundy. He worked for a crisis hotline while he was out there killing women.
Yeah. And he was charming. He was so charming.
Unreal.
Yeah. So, yeah, if someone's charming and nice to you, they're probably
a bad person. No, that's not true.
That's awful.
If your gut feeling is that this is not a good person.
Yeah.
But on the surface, they're charming and they've got an excuse for everything and they have big, big, grandiose, fancy stories about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Take heed.
Look it up.
Take care of yourself.
Make a list. Mm-hmm. And like get Google alerts on like how to spot a predator. That's what I'm going to start doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Just protect yourself first and listen to your gut.
I get my period every month. It just happens. Happens to a lot of us.
Yeah. It's part of the circle of life.
And that's why we've partnered with Lola, a modern approach to feminine care. They're a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes, which I've recently really become a huge fan of.
Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester, and their feminine care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, and dyes. Do you want to put those chemicals and harsh agents all up in ya?
No.
Or on ya?
No.
No. Keep your body protected. Lola products are 100% organic cotton, no added chemicals, no fragrances, no synthetics, no dyes.
If you don't like putting chemicals in your food,
yeah,
why put them up your vajay?
Don't put them up your vajay. Keep them out of your vajay.
And Lola has a subscription box that's fully customizable, so you can choose your mix of products, your mix of absorbency, the number of boxes, and the frequency of the delivery to your house or apartment.
And let's say you're going on a trip, you're traveling for business, you can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time.
Founded for women by women.
Because women know what should and should not go up their vajays.
I've used Lola pads, I've used their liners, and one of my favorite features of their tampons is that they have two kinds, the BPA-free plastic applicator and also the environmentally friendly non-applicator tampon.
Plus, for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. So we are both huge fans of Lola. We want you to try them too. To get 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and then enter taste when you subscribe. That's mylola, mylola.com, and then enter taste when you subscribe. That's going to get you 40% off all of your subscriptions to Lola.
So I guess this past week, were you on the gram?
A little bit.
Checking the gram. It was National Bikini Day or something like that. Some like totally useless hashtag that gives influencers an excuse to post. Right?
Yes. Fair.
Except one influencer slash the goddess in the center of my temple of life, Mindy Kaling.
Yes.
She posted a side-by-side picture of her in two different bikinis and she wrote, "I don't know who needs to hear this. Wear a bikini if you want to wear a bikini. You don't have to be a size zero. Mm-mm. Swipe for my story time and have a great summer." I guess she had put something in her Insta story. And she wrote, edited, "This sounds like an ad, but it's not. And if you want to buy any high-waisted bikini and wear it, wear it."
I love a high-waisted bikini, yeah. And I love Mindy Kaling.
So in her picture, she's wearing two different high-waisted bikinis. She looks adorbs.
Yeah, she looks great.
And yeah,
and even if she looked awful, she gets to wear a bikini.
What do they say? The beach will get the body I give it.
Yep.
Wear a bikini if you want to wear a bikini.
Yep, I agree with that.
One of my favorite things to follow on Instagram is body positive people.
Yeah.
Tailor your Instagram feed to make you feel good about yourself when you open it up, as opposed to an Instagram feed that makes you feel like absolute garbage when you open it up.
It's interesting. I unfollowed a bunch of different like workout accounts that were making me feel awful about myself, because it was usually size zero women doing like push-ups against a barn, you know, or like one half naked woman lying on top of another half naked woman and doing push-ups. And I was like, I don't think these are for me.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable with how they're being presented. If those women want to do that, that's great. But it didn't feel like that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I found this woman who has almost the exact same body I have. And she dresses amazingly. She takes all these awesome photos. And I just follow her obsessively because it normalizes my body for me and makes me not hate myself when I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever you have to do to figure out that you're not abnormal, your body is a normal body.
Yeah.
Like there are millions of other people out there who have the same body you have.
So you know how Instagram allows you to follow certain hashtags?
Yeah.
What I do is, okay, so I follow these hashtags, and when I see something that comes up associated with that hashtag that I think, oh, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Or this person is kind of violating this hashtag. It doesn't really match up to what I think this hashtag should be. I block that person. You don't even have to be following them. Just block them, and everything that they post within that hashtag moving forward will not show up in your feed anymore.
That's a good idea.
So yeah, just some food for thought. National Bikini Day. Stupid. I mean, it's just, these national days so stupid.
I mean,
I do love a good excuse to eat a taco on a Tuesday, but
the other day was National Kissing Day. I let it go unobserved.
I think I might have too, and I'm married.
I know. Well, I'm in like an LTR, and I don't think.
Oh, LTR, a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm.
And I think we kissed, but we didn't like make out.
Yeah.
I think you're like supposed to make out.
A peck.
Yeah.
Because you're not addicted to him.
No, I'm not. But I like him very much.
Yes. That's very healthy.
I miss him when he's not around. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay. So, yeah, I said to Bethany before, what I learned this week is a little bit long.
Yeah.
So.
I just dropped my pen.
I don't have a kitchen right now. So life has been a little bit challenging.
Your kitchen is being fixed.
They totally gutted my kitchen. So my husband and I have been trying to eat out whenever possible. Except tonight we're going to sit on the floor and eat pasta salad.
Ooh.
Pre-made everything.
That sounds delicious.
Okay. I went to go get an iced coffee and something happened to me that's never happened to me before. I was on my way out of spin. I stopped at the cafe to grab a big giant iced coffee and I got brain freeze from a freaking iced coffee.
Yeah, classic.
Has that happened to you before?
Yeah, because it's because you love it too much.
Okay.
Too much love for that iced coffee.
Too much.
So you loved it.
I was like, why do people freaking get brain freezes?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the science behind it.
I don't either.
I just kind of accepted it.
Yeah, no, it's just a thing that happens.
Which is something that we should never do. We should never just accept anything. Mm. We should always be curious. We should always question.
No, that's true. I agree with that.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you why.
Why we get brain freezes?
Why we get brain freezes.
Oh, I thought the science was unknown.
No, it's known. Okay, so there are blood vessels in the top of our mouth.
Okay.
Like the roof of our mouth, right?
Yeah.
And they have thousands and thousands of tiny nerve endings.
Yeah.
And they're connected to the larger network of nerve endings and blood vessels throughout our whole head.
Sure.
Okay.
Makes
so
sense.
You make sense? You're following?
Yeah.
So when you drink something cold, what is cold makes things restrict, right?
Yeah, like it's small, constrained.
Yeah. So your blood vessels are like, get real small, get real small.
Makes them toy.
Makes them real toy, very fast. And then your body is like, wait, no, dilate, go the opposite way. And it's that rapid change between the constriction and the dilation of your blood vessels in your mouth connected to your head that signals to your brain that there's pain.
Okay. That's interesting.
So sometimes your brain has difficulties trying to figure out where the pain is coming from.
Yeah.
Even though it's coming from your mouth, your brain is confused and it's like, wait, is it coming from the forehead?
Yeah.
Which is why you get all that pain in your forehead.
Oh.
Okay. Luckily, brain freezes are not dangerous.
Okay, good.
Even the very worst ones that feel like they last forever.
There are some that are like a minute long and you just want to jump off a ledge.
Yes. Fun fact. People who get brain freezes might have inherited that quality from their parents.
Oh.
Another fun fact.
Is that a thing you can test on 23andMe?
I don't know.
while they're stealing your DNA.
You know what? 2020, I'm sure it's going to be on that list.
That's true.
I mean, they can tell that I'm like more likely to sleep heavier and drink more caffeine.
That's like kidding.
That's a real thing on 23andMe.
You also tell them you work in morning radio?
I know.
Like, I think the hint.
Another fun fact. Some studies show that people who get migraines are more often to likely feel brain freezes than others.
Oh, interesting.
Even more fun fact.
Yeah. Oh, God. There's so many.
So if you get migraines, some people say that you can get rid of a prolonged headache by actually giving yourself a brain freeze. And it might partially reset parts of the nervous system inside of your head.
That's crazy. It's a little bit like I watched the movie Clue over the weekend because Dennis hadn't seen it. And it's such a good movie.
I've never seen the movie Clue.
You must watch it. Mm-hmm. It's some like legendary actors being legendarily funny.
Dr. Mustard in the closet
exactly.
with the dictionary.
Yep. But there's one scene where Miss Peacock becomes hysterical and one of the men just slaps her across the face, which is such an old school thing that they used to do in movies. But it's like a hard restart and it gets her to stop screaming.
Oh.
I don't recommend doing that in real life.
No, don't hit anybody.
No, but that sounds like what you're doing to your migraine with a brain freeze.
Interesting.
Just slapping it across the face and saying, get a hold of yourself, woman.
So if you have a brain freeze, this is how you get rid of it. So before you dig into that bowl of ice cream, have like a cup of hot water next to the ice cream, because the faster that you can get warm stuff inside of your mouth.
Oh, I never thought of
that. The faster the brain freeze goes away. Or if you don't have access to hot water and you're eating something cold, press your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
That's what I've heard. I don't know how well that works.
Well, it's like your tongue is warm. It's probably the temperature of your body. 98.6.
Is that a song? 98 point what? 98.4.
Anyway,
that's so helpful.
That is my prolonged what I learned this week.
I really, really liked it.
Thanks. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you're looking for baggy clothing and you are identifying as a lady, mm-hmm. go buy some dude clothing. I don't know why I've been trying so hard to like buy XXL shirts for women, because women's shirts, if you get an XXL, sometimes you get a big shirt. Sometimes you get an average sized shirt.
Yeah.
Depends on who it's cut for. Mm-hmm. The other day I just wanted.
Or if it's made in China.
Exactly. Oh, if that's the case, then you're getting a small.
Yes.
Like it's
no matter
insane.
What you order.
So I have become such an avid shopper of the men's section because their blazers are looser and boxier, and uh-huh. I love that look. Their t-shirts are larger and boxier, and I love that look. And I don't know why I felt like I really just needed to only buy clothing from the women's section. Dudes have great clothing, and their jeans, like I'll buy their jeans. Don't be constricted to, you know, whatever yeah. gender they tell you you're supposed to shop in.
So I think that works for you because mm-hmm. you're tall. Mm-hmm. But for me, I probably like wouldn't be able to buy stuff from the men's section.
You'd just probably have to tailor it.
I'd have to tailor it. But I do shop in the maternity section, even though I'm not with child.
You know what? You're with the potential of child someday. And that's good enough for me.
My favorite sweatpants from Target are maternity sweatpants.
Yeah.
So soft. So much extra room in the waistband.
And I know a lot of people who shop in the kids section for clothing because they're tiny. And
exactly.
like adult clothing doesn't fit them very well. Don't be constrained. You shop wherever you want to shop.
Yeah.
Like if you fit into infant size things, you buy those infant size things.
You just buy those onesies.
Those socks that have shoes printed on them so you don't actually have to wear socks. Because as a baby, you know, your shoes just keep falling off.
Yeah. Like if you want to go to work wearing a t-shirt that says baby's first 4th of July.
You wear that.
You wear it and you rock it.
And people better sell. Celebrate your first 4th of July.
Baby's first raise. Mm-hmm. Baby's first joint.
Or like hand, like a t-shirt that's just like, hand me the boob. Baby. Because it's like a feeding shirt.
Baby's first drop of CBD oil. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's some good stuff that Dennis brought home. We both were just sitting on the couch Saturday night like, oh.
I need to try. I've bought CBD oil, but I'm afraid to take it.
It's good. I can't do the marijuana. Mm-hmm. And CBD is great. Mm-hmm. Because it's just... It's like the relaxing the effects of a glass of wine without being drunk. You just feel relaxed. But obviously talk to your doctor. Do what's best for you.
But I like the taste of wine.
I do too. I really do too. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I am Ms. Bethany Watson. That's Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. Radio Bethany on Twitter. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
You can also find this podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. And check out our fan group there too. There's some amazing people in there and we've got some amazing taste buds that run it and they keep it well oiled.
Yes. You can send us an email like Ted did, an acquired taste podcast at gmail.com.
You can send us snail mail at an acquired taste podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Please rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Apple Podcasts, it's the most helpful, but anywhere you listen, 5 stars is the best. We love your comments. We read your comments and it just really helps make our podcast more visible so more people can find it.
Yeah. Bethany's mom gives us an allowance when we get a 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Then we could buy more ice cream. Also, we love to hear what you have to say. We have a voicemail line. If you give us a call, it just means that you might hear your voice at the end of one of our episodes. And that phone number is 917-994-0353.
Taste buds, thanks for hanging out.
Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Megan from North Carolina. And as we leave this voicemail, it is the 4th of July. And the 4th of July reminds me of my uncle. His birthday was also the 4th of July. And every year when he was younger, he thought that all of the fireworks and barbecues and celebrations and parades were not for the 4th of July, but rather for his birthday. And I think I've decided that that's the level of confidence I want to have going forward in my life.
Hi, ladies. This is Jackie from Minnesota. So I was listening to the latest podcast, and you mentioned Kathleen's hot brother, Bert, and it reminded me. We just got a new puppy last week. He's a basset hound, and we named him Bert. And I kept thinking, subliminally, you guys must have been telling me to name him Bert. We call him Bertram as his fancy name. Anyway, I hope you ladies have a great day. Bye.
Hey, ladies. This is Stephanie, your taste bud. About a month ago, I left a message about my adventures using a period cup for the first time. Well, it's been a month, and I tried it again, and I'm happy to report that I was able to get it out on my second try this time. So it took some practice, some learning how to break that seal, but I didn't have to go to the gynecologist to get it removed this time, and I didn't have to have a boyfriend's fingers up there trying to get it out.
Hey, ladies, it's Amanda from Minnesota. Just want to say your guys' podcast is absolutely freaking hilarious, and I actually binge listened to it for the last 6 months and finally got caught up, but just wanted to give you a heads up about the Amazon ratings. Just made me laugh. I bought a new book for my sister who just recently had a baby, and I don't know if she was really excited about it, but it's called Would You Like to Play With My Balls? And if you haven't heard of it or listened to it, it's kind of a riot. So hope you guys are having a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
Bye. Love you guys. This is Allison, a Cleveland taste bud. I've never called before, but this is exciting. I am in the early stages of pregnancy, and I am exhausted, and I am nauseous, and I am constipated, and I am miserable. I am full of a lot of anxiety, so I already have a toddler. I know the pain that lies at the end of this pregnancy, and I know the struggles that are coming in the first year, and I'm just full of a lot of anxiety and stress. And so I was listening to a couple episodes ago where Bethany was talking about watching Wonder Woman and how she's not pushing herself to the fullest that she could be or should be. And I immediately just thought, oh my gosh, I am being a whiny little bitch. Of course this isn't easy or comfortable, but of course I can do this. I've already done it before. So thank you for that. And I'm going to go watch Wonder Woman.
Hey gals, it's Izzy from Jersey. I'm driving to work for the second time today because I forgot my wallet. So I'm really just thinking about when you guys said not let that one little thing mess up your whole day. But I was just listening to the 4th of July episode you guys had. And I know you guys care so much about everything that you talk about. I just felt like I had to let you know that one of the big things about the bees dying is actually that people that raise bees only raise honeybees and not different kinds of bees. And the problem is that different types of bee populations are dying out. So I really hope that you guys enjoy this little tidbit that I know from God knows where.
Hey guys, this is your favorite taste bud. Yep, I said it. It's your favorite. I am your favorite, Lauren from Denver, Colorado, formerly New Jersey. Yeah, that one. I don't actually know why I called. I guess I just wanted to say hi. Oh shit, can I get like a redo on this voicemail thing?